and beauty and everything that flies.
Speedway Report is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. NASCAR crowns three national champions in Miami. Myrtle Beach holds their big fall 400 for modifieds and late model stock cars. Jimmy Johnson wins his seventh Cup championship. Reaction will be coming right up. All this and more. Welcome to Speedway Report for Monday, November 21st, 2016. Where has the year gone? We are from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm Patrick Reynolds, and thank you for joining us tonight. From the North Myrtle Beach ZRN studios, producer Jeff Gilder is with us. Someday when he retires from Racers Reunion, he may go to work in a mirror factory. That is something he can see himself doing. Yes, that joke just happened. Well, we welcome everyone that is listening to Racers Reunion Radio tonight. Good evening to all of you. And hello to all of our viewers on Speedway Report TV. And we're at SpeedwayReport.com if you'd like to join us. Pull up the website, and at the top ribbon, there's a TV button. Simply click on there. Also, this feed here is our Racers Reunion stock car page. Hello to all of you. Over here to my left, we're streaming on Facebook Live. So if you would like to watch us on Facebook, that's another option. Head on over to our show page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds. Hello, we are live over here. And I want to say hello to our friends in the chat rooms tonight. Good friends on the stock car and the drag racing site tonight. Danny, Guy, a pair of Jacks, Jeff, Larry, Tim, and Jerry are all joining us in the Racers Reunion stock car site. Over on the drag racer site, Barb, Jerry, and Jeff are signing in early because Racing and Rockin' with Draglist.com coming up on Racers Reunion Radio right after we are done here. So thank you to all of you, as well as our good friend Leo, who is listening down in Brazil. Thank you, and hello to all of our friends in South America. We welcome everyone to the fastest half hour in racing. We're on SpeedwayReport.com and Racers Reunion over here, Facebook Live over here. By the way, folks, if you are on our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, we'd appreciate it if you kindly give us a like. And as well with all that, let's wrap up the social media platform. You can tweet me directly at SpeedwayPat or at SpeedwayReport. Pick your poison there. I think we've got all the social media covered here. Let's roll through the victory lane lap for this past weekend for Speedway Report. Mid-November, late November, yes, we are still racing. And man, was it a big one. The Sprint Cup Tour ended their year in Miami yesterday afternoon. Jimmy Johnson wins his first race ever at Homestead Miami Speedway and clinches his seventh NASCAR Cup title. On Saturday night, the Xfinity Tour was also in Miami. Daniel Suarez made history as he won the race and the championship. The native Mexican, good to have him aboard in NASCAR. And the Trucks race Friday night, where William Byron set a record with his seventh win of the year, the most ever for a rookie in the series. Johnny Sauter turned a third-place finish into the series championship. I was at Myrtle Beach, South Carolina over the weekend, where they ran the Myrtle Beach 400 annual running of the doubleheader for the late model stock cars and modifieds. Late models running 225 laps, the modifieds 125. Christian Eckes won the late model portion in a thrilling finish there. And the 125 lap for the modifieds was won by big money Matt Hirschman. You guys just heard from him on Stars Radio right before us. He talked about the big win down there in Myrtle Beach. Big money, Matt. Big race on the line. Big money. Yeah, checkered flag flies. He cashes the check. No surprise there. Big field. More coming on that, I believe, this week on SpeedwayReport.com. Little hint of what I might be writing here shortly within a few days. Anyway, let's jump right in. There's the big topic, the big story. I promoted it a little bit this afternoon. Homestead Miami Speedway. Checkered flag waves last night. Everybody, we now have three gentlemen that have won 7 championships at NASCAR's highest level: Dale Earnhardt, Richard Petty, and now Jimmie Johnson. Now, the debate is gone about this championship format, that championship format, Jimmie Johnson this, Dale Earnhardt that, Richard Petty this. Allow me to take the stage here for a moment. I did a lot of thinking of this. I watched the race yesterday. You guys, regular listeners to our show, know how I go on and on and beat up this chase in auto racing playoffs week after week. And, well, I'm not going to do that again tonight. I'm, you know, beating a dead horse here. You know, through each week of the chase, it kind of comes up my disdain for it and how it's affected the championship and what happens to NASCAR. For this, for the purpose of our conversation here with Jimmie Johnson joining Petty and Earnhardt as 7-time champions, I don't think I can just continue to beat up the chase, but I did a lot of thinking about this over the last 24 hours and sort of analyzed it as best I could from a journalistic point of view, a fan's point of view, and just try to be very analytical and look at it factually. And I believe that a lot of the anger and disinterest for Jimmie Johnson is misdirected. Here's where I'm going with this. I think a lot of our dislike, mine particular, I'll speak for myself, is with the chase, not with the driver, Jimmie Johnson. I really don't have a problem with Jimmie. Granted, he's been a big benefactor for the chase system and how it's put in the place. He's been the guy that you know, has benefited the most under this type of format. But it's not really his fault or issue as to how NASCAR or Brian France decides how the series is going to be won. I heard a lot of negative comments about Jimmie Johnson, how he can't compare to Petty, how he can't compare to Earnhardt, this guy, that guy, Cale, Bobby Allison, whoever. Understand this. Just look at some numbers here. Let's look at these race wins with Richard Petty at 200, David Pearson 105. Jeff Gordon is third with 93. Then you've got a cluster of guys that are pretty close together. Bobby Allison and Darrell Waltrip tied at 84. Cale Yarborough with 83. Next guy in line, Jimmie Johnson. 80 wins in NASCAR's top series. He has more race wins than Dale Earnhardt does. So as much as I beat up on the chase, I really don't beat up on Jimmie Johnson too much. I don't enjoy the chase. I don't enjoy that format at all. But if I separate that a little bit, put a little brain power behind it and separate the two, just Jimmie Johnson, race car driver. Yes, you do not win 80 races in the NASCAR Cup Series unless you are seriously that good. Don't tell me about cars. Hendrick, anybody could win in that car, cheating Chad Knaus, blah, blah, blah. I don't buy any of that. Is you're going to park that thing in victory lane 80 times in your career. And he's only 41 years old. He's not slowing down at all yet. He's got a lot of race wins left and possibly some more championships in him. I'm not going to jump on the beat Chad Knaus cheater to death bandwagon either. I won't do that. There are 40 cars that take the green flag in the Cup Series every Sunday. How many of those guys are pushing the rules envelope when we go through tech inspection? I'll give you the exact number. 40. That's how many crew chiefs are pushing the envelope. I've worked on these teams before. The guy's running for the lead. The guy's running 35th. I've been with both of them. Everybody is trying to get away with something. The tech tolerances were so wide back in the 70s, the 60s, the 80s. They kept shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. Now we're using laser beams to get these cars through tech now. So there's a lot less you can do with them. But back in the day when not all the technology was developed, guys didn't necessarily know everything that they needed to do to make the cars go faster. But there were always crew chiefs and mechanics, and back when drivers worked on their cars, pushing the envelope and trying to build the better mousetrap than anybody else. So every car, when they go through the tech line, they go through the same tech inspection. So I'm not going to hop on that bandwagon where we're going to call Chad Knaus a cheater, and he cheated his way to 7 championships. All those other crew chiefs go through the same set of lasers that Chad Knaus does. There's no different than that. Now, let's circle this back around a little bit to Brian France. This relates to where I'm going. Brian France, I'll say it, kind of lives a little bit under a rock. He's an executive of a big corporation. He's not the racer cut from that racer cloth that his dad and his grandfather was. He is surrounded by corporate yes people in NASCAR. I know some people that work for the company, work for NASCAR as a corporation. They have told me that their job a lot of times requires them to keep their mouth shut and not rock the boat. They're like so many of us out there. They have mortgages, they have children, they have college tuition, they have groceries to buy. NASCAR puts a good paycheck in front of them. Part of that is knowing when to not say anything and shut up. Don't rock the boat. This chase is part of NASCAR's executive decisions right now. If we go bench racing, have a few beers, drop the tailgate to my pickup, the conversation will be much different than what these guys do Monday through Friday in the offices here in Charlotte or down in Daytona Beach. Brian France believes this chase is wonderful, the greatest thing since sliced bread. So many fans that I know can't stand it and have walked away from the sport. This playoff-type format was designed to court younger fans, to compete with the NFL, to make the racing more exciting, the championship more exciting. Yes, it's made it close, but it's artificial, and real race fans have turned off by that. This sport has spent a lot of time chasing millennials, that 20-something, that 24, 25-year-old. And a cool, slick playoff system in motorsports does not bring in any new fans. What brings in new fans are older fans. The older generation where dads and uncles and grandfathers brought their children, their daughters, their sons to the racetrack. This playoff format has done a very good job in pushing those people out. They don't like the racing anymore, and they've left the sport. They're not bringing that, they're not bringing their younger generation to the racetrack to introduce them to the sport. Now, let's bring Jimmy Johnson back into my equation here again. He can't help it. Jimmy Johnson cannot help the format he races under. BZF is down in Daytona, or he's here in Charlotte, wherever. He loves this. He likes it. That's what he's going to do. He wants the chase. He's going to have playoffs. Jimmy Johnson has no control over it. He raced a couple years in the Cup Series, 2002 and 2003, where there was no chase. It was a straight format. That team was still in the top five in points both years. It's a legitimate, strong contender. I believe Jimmy Johnson is extremely talented. Now, Rick Allen caught me a call on NBC last night where Jimmy was coming to the checkered flag. He yells out, "Move over Richard Petty and Dale Earnhardt," as Jimmy Johnson is winning his seventh championship. That's where I stop you right there. No. As a fan of the sport, no. To me and many other fans, a Chase championship does not carry the same weight that the traditional point system does. Each title JJ won, Jimmy Johnson won, it does not stack up to me as a season-long championships. Now, if this guy had won, there's a lot of hatred towards Jimmy Johnson. If he had won seven championships in a season-long point style, we would not see the disdain for Jimmy Johnson that he has. He would command a tremendous amount of respect within the NASCAR fan base. But to me, if he wins 10 titles under this Chase format, it just not weigh as much as what Petty or Dale Earnhardt accomplished with 7. Now, granted, with the race wins, I will, you know, he's clearly a talented guy. He's an amazing driver. Yes, he's Hall of Fame material. I don't want to take anything away from Jimmy Johnson, the driver, but I will take something away from NASCAR in their system and how they use this. To wrap this up, Jimmy Johnson, one of the best drivers ever in NASCAR Sprint Cup in my lifetime. I'll say that. One of the best. The Chase, one of the biggest negatives in all of motorsports in my lifetime. However, the championships for Jimmy Johnson are linked to the Chase. That's where the disdain comes from. That's where the anger and the hatred comes from. It's for the Chase. I don't think it's for the man. Jimmy Johnson, I take my hat off to you. Much respect on what you've accomplished in this sport. But no, I am not a fan of the chase, and I don't buy into the artificial excitement of tying four guys for the final race of the year. Fortunately, that was the final race of the year. I'm hoping to move on to some new topics next week, not racing playoffs. Some other things I do want to get to. Tonight, Tony Stewart made his final cup race as a driver with a very disappointing 22nd place finish. However, if you're a smoke fan, fear not. He's got, in 2017, he's got about a 60-plus race schedule lined up for him to go racing. So you'll see him a lot. Most of those will be on dirt. Look for him out in the Midwest and around the country at a race near you. Plus, he will be at plenty of NASCAR events as a owner of Stewart Haas Racing. Yesterday was also the final race as Sprint is the title sponsor for the NASCAR Cup Series. A new one has not been announced yet for 2017. Here's something I also know, is that a lot of promotional items have already been built and made. You want all your merchandise ready for Daytona in February. You can't start churning that out on February 1st. A lot of photos, artwork, t-shirts, diecasts, jackets, keychains, all that good stuff. A lot of that has been made already with a blank spot where the NASCAR Sprint Cup or in former years the Winston Cup emblem went. They've got a spot on a lot of merchandise waiting to be filled, and they're going to have to put it in there after the fact with stitching, dye, whatever, because they don't have a title sponsor yet for the series. You need to start on that stuff now. It's November 21st. You can't just start that a couple weeks before the Daytona 500 and Speed Weeks and have that all ready to go. You have to start it now or already have started it, which they have started, but they're leaving blank spots on uniforms, patches, decals, things like that, because NASCAR needs a title sponsor. Connected to the chase and the low ratings and empty seats? I believe so. Whether anyone in Daytona Beach will believe me or not remains to be seen. I doubt it, but seriously, it's. I believe it's all connected. I want to talk about Myrtle Beach as well. We heard from the modified race winner Matt Hirschman in the last half hour on Stars Radio with Jerry Smith. I want to call out some names. Obviously, Jerry was down there. Got to hang out with him for the day, as well as Racers Reunion folks, Coastal Jack Walker. Good to see him. And Coastal Margaret, good to see you guys. Happy to share a beer and some shivers with you guys. And I want to give a big tip of the hat to the Myrtle Beach management, announcer and chief cook and bottle washer Mike Neff, as well as Steve Zacharias, showed tremendous professional courtesy to everyone here at Racers Reunion Radio and Speedway Report. They, you know, took care of us nicely. We got in there. They had some pretty good track food. Not bad at that. They invited me up to the announcer's booth, sat there as they called the race, and did a little TV coverage. No, they didn't put a mic in my mouth and didn't put a camera on me at all, probably wise on their part. But I had a great time there. At Myrtle Beach, my very first visit to the track, believe it or not. I'm not that far from it. It's about a four-hour ride from Charlotte to Myrtle Beach, and it is a storied short track in Southern stock car racing. Coastal Jack Walker was telling me that. I asked him, hey, Jack, has this track ever been dirt or always been pavement? He shared some history with me that the track's been dirt three times and pavement three times, and I think it was sometime in the 1950s. Don't mean to date you there, Jack. The first time he went to the Myrtle Beach Speedway. I came in there, I looked up at the track, went through a tunnel, got in the infield, looked up at the track. This looked like my kind of place. As we says the name Myrtle Beach, as you can tell, it's sandy down there. So it reminded me of a lot of your Darlingtons, your Rockinghams, your Five Flags Speedway in Pensacola, Florida. That tire eater type of short track. I really dig that. Matt Hirschman talked about that in the previous show. I like that. It makes a driver save his stuff. It makes him have to go fast to try to beat everybody else. But it's a little bit of a mind game. It's a cerebral game. Your head connected to the gas pedal on how you drive a short track. North Wilkesboro is like this as well when they ran there about, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, something like that. And they had some late model races where that pavement is just worn out. And you can't just stomp on the gas and go. With all kinds of grip on new asphalt. But it really creates a driver's type of racetrack. So I have some plans to go back to Myrtle Beach again, hopefully in 2017. This track is a winner. I know it's got a lot of history to it. Myrtle Beach Speedway, two thumbs up in their Icebreaker 2017. Make plans now, February 10th and 11th, I believe the dates are. We'll check on that as we get closer to there, week to week here on the show. I believe the Icebreaker will be 200 laps for late models in early February. Look for 10th and 11th, possibly, for the Myrtle Beach Speedway Icebreaker. But big thanks to Myrtle Beach for the treatment that they gave Racers Reunion Radio folks and Speedway Report as we came down there, hung out, viewed their race, and had a great time. Really enjoyed the program down there. Everyone, in between our broadcasts, keep up on the world of auto racing with our website, SpeedwayReport.com. Our Speedway Report TV replays right here are now posted on the site. You just on the top ribbon, you click on the TV button, and you can rewatch tonight's show and past programs. We also have columns there from Vicki Miller, Steve Zonger, Paul Bloffus, and myself. Now, Paul has a column that will post Tuesday morning, that's tomorrow, about about everything in the world of motorsports that he is thankful for. We complain enough, we point out enough negativities, Paul wrote a positive column. I hope you guys can check it out tomorrow. Click on the website. So we've got auto racing, TV, radio, and stories. Good stuff to read on SpeedwayReport.com. Big thanks to Jeff Gilder, ZRN, and Racers Reunion for the production work tonight. You can hear more from Jeff and Racers Reunion family right here tomorrow at 7 Eastern Time on Racing Through History. We lovingly call it the Goat Rodeo. Big thanks to everyone on the RacersReunion.com chat rooms for joining us, both our stock car friends and our drag racing friends. It is great to be part of your Racers Reunion family. And let me ask you, did you tune in late, or would you like to catch a rebroadcast of Speedway Report or any of our Racers Reunion programs? Simple, you catch up like this. Racers Reunion Radio produces live content every Monday and Tuesday night. Replays 24/7 through the next week. You can simply hear it by clicking Listen Now on SpeedwayReport.com. And we also archive all these shows, so they're on demand. And I want to thank all of the military, past and present, for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing right here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and listening to Racers Reunion, take care of yourselves and come home soon. And a special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless and thank you. You have been watching Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. Produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Now don't go anywhere. BP, JB, and BS are coming right up at the top of the hour on Racing and Rockin' with Draglist.com. A reminder to like our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, and follow me on Twitter at Speedway Pat. For Jeff Gilder, I'm Patrick Reynolds. We will be back in 1 week and have results from the Wall Stadium Turkey Derby in New Jersey, North Carolina's Thanksgiving Classics, Racing's Hot Topics, and the Formula One World Championship. Thank you all for joining us on Facebook Live, Racers Reunion, and SpeedwayReportTV.com. Happy Thanksgiving. Good night.